Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Giants will be taking on the Denver Broncos. Obviously, just played the Broncos in London. Giants will get set to take on the Broncos in Denver. So maybe it could be a little bit winning football here if the Giants could continue their winning ways. As for the Jets, BT, you just have to ask yourself, and I know we do this in jest a lot of the times, but I have a group text with a bunch of Jet fans on there for years. You know, you and I have talked about this for years, and we hear from the Jet fans all the time. Like, I just don't, like, I don't know how Jet fans can continue to take this and invest the proper emotion and energy. I get it. Like, you want to be a sports fan, you love it, you put the game on, but maybe a break, a little healthy breather from your team if you're a Jet fan is necessary. You could watch football, you could have the games on, maybe get the YouTube DirecTV, the YouTube package, so Sunday Ticket, watch some of the other games as well, because this just can't be healthy continuing to watch this football game.
I mean, they could stay as London. I really wish they would have stayed there. Like, I've once said that to me, and it encompasses emotion and money,
yeah,
and time and all those other things that the New York Jet fan commits to the Jets. And then when you contrast that to what the New York Jets give back to those fans, it really does represent the greatest disparity in all of sport. They give us nothing. And what's happened, just to keep it real, is that I no longer care the way that I once did. I watch the games. You know, there's a piece of me that's like, all right, you know, listen, maybe we can get something going here today. And anytime there's a new coach and a new GM, there's that little flicker of hope and possibility. Same with a young quarterback, Darnold, Zach, whatever. I'm sure we'll go through the same thing this year, coming up in April, May, whenever the draft is. And I will find a way to, you know, get myself up a little bit. But they really just, they have beaten us down in a way that's just really not even fair anymore.
See, well, I thought that was part of the genius of the name of your podcast.
Well, that's why I'm still doing it.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. You came up with that moniker, Unkillable.
Yeah.
It was because of the rant that you unleashed here right next to me when Aaron Rodgers went down for the season, that first game of the year, a couple years back. Unkillable. And here we are 2 years later, 0-6, new head coach. Would you say that you are still unkillable as a Jet fan?
Yeah, I would say that for sure. Otherwise, I wouldn't show up and do the podcast. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I like that.
Yeah. I mean,
you got to regenerate.
It is what, but there's also, you know, you could be unkillable, you could be resilient, but you can't be stupid. I mean, you've got to at least understand, you know, where we're at here, what the count is, what the scoreboard says. I mean, it is 0-2, and we're facing a nasty slider. It is 40-3, and we're losing in the fourth quarter with 13 seconds to go. I mean, you know, it is 137-89. We're on the wrong end of that score with 12 ticks left in the fourth quarter. It's misery. It's absolute misery. But yes, as the name of the pod says, unkillable. That is the spirit, not the actual product. The spirit of the Jet fan. While it flickers out, it always finds a way to get back and hopefully just get strong again at some point.
And you're going to regenerate because you got the Panthers coming to town. Could be a win. First win.
You know,
get you excited.
You know what's crazy? You know, you mentioned that. That rant, and I will say this, while it's still unkillable, I just don't have that in me anymore. I mean, I don't. Not now.
It's in there.
No, it's like not, when the Jets played the Steelers. Yeah, no, it's in there, but it's buried deep.
Right.
You know, like when they played the Steelers, I was ready to go nuts. Yeah. And I was going nuts for most of the game. And, you know, even into the Bills game and even into the Dallas game. But yeah. there's just limits on what you think. Listen, you can be with your team, but to think that it's going to change when they're like now, when there's too much evidence to the contrary, or at least change in a way that's incredibly meaningful, you know, on a week-to-week basis, we're in for a long haul. This is going to take a long time to build this house.
Let me just give you a little bit of good news before we get back to the calls. So not only are you taking on the Panthers next week at home, you know, the Panthers are not some kind of NFL powerhouse that's going to be traveling.
Stink.
Yeah, okay.
There'll be some Jets fans in the building for once.
That's what I'm saying. So now you got the Jet fans sniffing maybe, hey, you know what? We got to support our team. Go get Aaron Glenn his first win. It's the lowly Panthers. This could be the week to kind of ignite that fire that's deep in there back up a little bit, because it's not going to be overwhelmed by the Cowboys fans or the Patriots fans or whatever fans travel to Steelers fans. You've got, you know, the Panthers. This thing ain't
no, they
Panthers
have no
fans.
National profile.
Yeah, so, you know, coming back home off of at least a competitive game against a good Denver team.
But think about the way the season started. It really tells you all you need to know about where the Jet fan was even going into the year, and even with many of us excited about, you know, Aaron Glenn getting the job, the possibilities, and the hope that certainly at this point he's going to be a lot better and grow on the job and eventually become the guy. We'll see. There were 43,000 Steeler fans there week 1.
Yeah.
It's not week 9. It's not week 6 when you're 0-5. I mean, when it's hopeless here. And I get it. There's only a couple of teams. Dallas is one. Steelers another. You know, maybe the Niners. Maybe the Pats. Maybe one or two other. Whatever. Where you've got a chance to really make some money and almost pay for a good portion of those tickets. But I thought that was that sign right there, week 1, the Jet fan had basically already checked out of the season before the season started.
Yeah, I know. Well, they understood what they were getting themselves into. BT and Sal on the fan. Chris is calling from Clearwater, Florida. What's up, Chris?
Gentlemen, good morning.
What's
how
up,
you
Chris?
Doing?
Good morning.
Hey, bud.
Good morning. If you just give me a second, I waited a long time to talk to you. A long-suffering Jets fan. I have to be straight honest with you guys. You guys, you know, we're all around the same age. If one of the three of us were playing Madden and we put on screen, we perform like the Jets, we would be ridiculed for the rest of our lives. That's number one.
Fair point.
They are
can't argue that.
They're abysmal. They're abysmal. Number two, we were talking about Tyrod Taylor earlier. I was on hold a long time, like I said. Guys, the last time we saw Tyrod Taylor, he beat us in Orchard Park in 2015. Not only is he not a bad quarterback, he's the last time the Jets were relevant. Let's go back even – that's just 10 years ago. Let's go back even further, 15 years ago. Guys, gentlemen, be serious with me. The last time the Jets were exciting and watchable was with Rex Ryan.
No. Hold on, Chris. I got to push back a little bit. The year with Marshall and Decker and Fitzpatrick, 10 wins,
that's
Bowls.
That's 2015, 10 years ago.
Yeah, but you said Rex. It was Bowls.
Let's be serious. That was an anomaly, though.
But
that
it was fun.
Anomaly.
I'm just saying it was fun, Chris. That's all I'm saying.
They
had 2 1,000-yard receivers.
And look what happened. And they lost immediately after they beat the Patriots in Foxborough. Then they went on to lose in Orchard Park. They had to beat Tyrod, and they lost that game.
I know.
Meaningless. That's insane. It's an aberration. Yeah. Past that, like I said, gentlemen, the only coach that was worth this job that would have taken it and succeeded, let's be serious, is Rex Ryan. Nobody wants to come to the Jets any more than they want to go watch the WNBA courtside. Let's be serious.
Well, WNBA courts, depending on which team we're playing, thanks for the call, Chris.
Is Sophie Cunningham playing?
Yeah, I would go. I got to take, now, not me on my own. I would take my daughter. Yeah, Sophie Cunningham, exactly.
She playing? I'll sit courtside.
Hey, Sammy, let's go to
she got some good post moves. I want you to learn how to play basketball. Come on, let's go watch Sophie.
Okay, couple of good things there.
Yes.
Number one, I'd be lying to you and the audience, and I don't want to do that, if I said that the thought of Rex didn't cross my mind. Now, I'm not saying that they should fire Aaron Glenn, anything but that right now. However, I do think the one answer, I don't believe Rex is a good head coach. You and I are on the same page on that. We've had this conversation. However, he does eliminate all the other stuff. The fans pushing back, the doubt about whether or not that the coach can succeed, experience, all that stuff. Like, Rex and the Jets is a good marriage, even in just the idea that it would shut the fans the hell up and the media the hell up, because at least you know Rex did have success here.
Okay, so Rex has always been a buffoon. He's our buffoon. But the last couple of years, he's become a buffoon on steroids. I will say this. If, like, this was year 2 for Aaron, or year 3, or Sala was still, or anybody else was still here, and you knew that they were going to make a coaching change, this might be the first time that I might actually be slightly open to the concept of Rex coming back.
That's kind of what I'm saying.
You know what
saying.
I mean? Like, I've always shot it down. I've heard Benengo talk about it. I've heard Jet fans call up the fan. Oh, bring back Rex. He wants to be a Jet. He gets the Jets. You know, he knows what it's about. His dad was here with Weeb Eubank. And I'm like, Rex, he's a buffoon. And he wasn't good with the Bills. And he hasn't coached in forever. But the it doesn't sound as nuts to me as it once did.
Because the floor, you know that there's a floor there. Even if it's just the outside noise alone. So that's, we're kind of in agreement there that, not that I would do it.
Yeah.
But at least the first time we're like, you know what? It could be worse, and it has been worse.
I don't shoot it down immediately for the first time in a long time.
And the other thing I thought Chris touched on there is something interesting. He talked about playing Madden, right? And mm-hmm. how, like, if you or I did that on Madden, we'd be fired. I would have it a prerequisite. It sounds insane. But now, like, Woody Johnson can't be the one playing Madden versus the new head coach hire because he doesn't know what he's talking about. But there should be somebody in the organization that during the interview process, instead of going over the analytics and what you would do this and what you do there and the binders and all that stuff, play me in a game of Madden. And I want to see how he coaches, because that is something so simple yesterday that you can, in fact, learn. Like, I've been playing Madden since, what, 92, 93?
Mm-hmm.
I learned some things through playing Madden football all those years.
Yeah.
And one of those is, you don't fake a punt and go for it just to then run the clock out. Like, that's unacceptable. The usage of your timeouts, when to kick a field goal, when not. Like, those are things that I would want to see from a new head coach. And maybe playing a game of Madden against them wouldn't be such a bad idea.
Okay, so it would at least be fun.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And here's the thing, but who is he playing against?
That's,
because that implies that somebody in the building knows what they're doing.
That's the key.
So who is he playing against? If you're going to play against Steve Wilkes, his score might be 0-0.
I don't think the Jets have anybody in that building that I would want. But either way, that would not be a bad idea. Clearly, they could do worse. Angelo's calling from Wayne, New Jersey. What's up, Angelo?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I usually agree with you on 99%, but I think it's just you guys and Aaron Glenn on the planet Earth that didn't think Justin should have been pulled at halftime. I mean, come on. They should have kicked that field goal before half. The reason they didn't, because they don't think this kid could move the ball 20 yards. And if you don't think that Tyrod at the end of the game with a first down on the 50 could have got them 20 yards to get a field goal, that's crazy.
Well, why is it crazy?
What is
Tyrod Taylor doing? He had a chance to play against the Bucs. How'd they do?
Listen, you guys are giving Denver's defense too much credit. There were receivers open yesterday. He was holding the ball too long.
Okay, but why?
I think Tyrod gets the ball out quicker.
First of all, Denver's defense is one of the best defenses in the league. That's number one. Number two, what makes you think Tyrod?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Taylor's good.
Well, listen, look what the kid was doing the first half. I mean, minus 10 yards the whole game.
He was terrified to throw the football.
Your job at halftime is to look and see how you can win this game. Who you can put in a position to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
They should have pulled him at halftime. He was having an awful game, taking sacks upon sacks. Most of those sacks were his fault.
They were.
I think
almost everyone was.
Open.
Almost everyone was his fault. Yeah. No, I get it, Angelo.
I mean, come on, make a change. And it's just not about winning one game. You guys are saying, oh, it's just one game. You got to win a game for the Quinton Williams.
Yeah.
For the Breece Halls, to give the guys some confidence. The guys that have been here losing all these years. One game is important to start the next step.
I agree.
I don't get it.
I agree. Thanks for the call there, buddy. I agree. To an extent, I'm not going to lie to you and sit here and say I was thinking about Tyrod Taylor during that game. I guess I had hope that maybe Justin would make a play with his legs and maybe scratch out a cheap touchdown or whatever. I don't know, find a, like he did against the Steelers, that bomb to Garrett Wilson, a breakdown. I don't really know what I was thinking watching the game, except that I was half asleep like everybody else out there. I do think, though, there's got to be a spark, and it's got to at least be on the table. And it didn't seem like it was, which is a little disconcerting to me. Like, again, I said this in the first hour. You have a backup quarterback. Number one, if your starter goes down. Number two, but also, and this was more in the 80s and the 90s, and Parcells would do this, and other. Actually, Glenn Foley was the starter. You think about one of the only great seasons that the Jets had, 1998. Vinny set a touchdown record that year. I think Chad eventually broke it, but Vinny Testaverde did not start the first two games of that season. It was Glenn Foley in San Francisco, and that's when Garrison Hurst had that long run. And then I think they lost to either the Rams or the Ravens, whatever. And then after a couple of games, bang, he gave the football to Vinny. So, you know, and Vinny was a bit of a transient, you know, knock around the league, turnover laden guy. Tyrod Taylor's not changing the ultimate trajectory of the Jets. Could he have stolen him a game yesterday? Maybe, yeah. But we'll never know.
Yeah, maybe he's the answer. You guys are talking about Tyrod Taylor like he's the next coming.
No, but it's more about Fields. Sal, it's not about Tyrod Taylor. It's more about Justin Fields. Justin Fields had 4.0 seconds to throw the ball.
Understood.
I mean, 8 of the 9 sacks were on Justin Fields. Guys were open.
Yeah, well, who do you think's better, Justin Fields or Tyrod Taylor?
Honestly, in terms of throwing the ball under 4, I think it's Tyrod Taylor. See, actually, Justin Fields is one of the worst quarterbacks in football, seeing what's in front of him.
I understand. It's proven. It's why I didn't like Justin Fields going into the year. So we had a disagreement on that. I didn't love Fields necessarily. He's a quarterback. However, he's their guy. And I also watched Tyrod Taylor in a very, very, very winnable game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who were absolutely ravaged and playing maybe the worst game that they played all year long. And yet Tyrod Taylor couldn't get the win. I've seen Tyrod Taylor play. Even at his best, Tyrod Taylor is not somebody that's going to ignite an offense. He's okay. We saw him with the Giants. He's okay. He's an okay backup that when needed, you feel like maybe he's serviceable. The upside with Justin Fields to me is far significant. And also, I do think that Denver's defense was the primary factor yesterday. Whereas if you put Tyrod Taylor in that game, you could say that he's better throwing the football or making the reads down the field. I don't think it would have been that much of a difference because of Denver's defense.
Well, Justin Fields' upside is what was very appealing to me when they brought him in. Right. You know, fairly cheap, mid-20s, all the things we talked about. And now I've actually watched him play every single snap, and he ain't it. So, you know, I just think
But Tyrod Taylor's not it either.
No. Why I say big picture, he's not it. I'm not even close to saying that. What I'm saying is he has been viable enough and more viable throwing the football than Justin Fields has been over the years here. So, you know, a little spark, a little bullpen, you know, a little pinch hit, however you want to frame it, maybe you steal a win. And now you're back home, you play Carolina, maybe you beat Carolina, then you have the Bengals. Like, the culture's got to start somewhere. We could debate, and I'm not saying it's not debatable, but we could debate Tyrod versus Justin yesterday. What I don't think is even remotely debatable is at some point you got to play to the whole locker room, because that's the job of Aaron Glenn, not to hold training wheels for Justin Fields. Justin Fields is not Eli when we went through this thing with Geno Smith. Like, man, you disrespected Eli and you played Geno against the Raiders. Let's find a better plan than this. He's got zero equity with the Jets in terms of Jets. Now, neither does Tyrod Taylor, but he hasn't done a damn thing for the Jets. The way he looked yesterday, which was so bad. In hindsight, Taylor probably would have been bad. I know he wouldn't have been worse. I could promise you that.
Well, if they think that Tyrod Taylor is the best quarterback for them moving forward, then I have no problem with the change. I don't think he's the best option that they have. I still think it's Justin Fields.
Throwing the football, no way. Justin Fields can't throw the ball.
But
Justin Fields hasn't won a game.
BT, I understand he can't throw the ball. I was the one saying it before the season started.
I understand that. Okay. So you may have been right before the season, so why not change it now?
Because I don't think Tyrod Taylor is that good.
But Justin's got no wins.
But when when I watched the game against Tampa, and I came in that next Monday saying you could tell that they missed Justin Fields, and the ability to run the football was lacking with Tampa. They needed offense. Tyrod Taylor couldn't move the football.
I agree with that.
And now we're talking about a Denver defense who is as good a defense as there is in the league.
But think about this. We haven't seen Justin Fields look the way he looked in week one since week one.
Understood. He was terrible yesterday. Nobody's going to say that he wasn't terrible yesterday. I just don't think that Tyrod Taylor would have done much different against the Broncos.
Now, listen, Tyrod Taylor is not outrunning a very good defense. He is not doing things like that in the open field. I can promise you that if Garrett Wilson ran the same routes that he ran yesterday, Tyrod Taylor's not putting the ball 2 yards behind him. And, like, you got to at least start with the most basic level of functionality. When you have a quarterback who can't even throw to a radius, I'll take the L. I thought he was a little bit better than that. Throwing the ball, he's terrible throwing the ball.
Well, if we get to a point, and maybe Glenn will get to that point, who knows, that he feels like they got to win some games here, and Tyrod Taylor gives him the best choice, then he's going to go with Tyrod Taylor. I would expect that. Me personally, so far, based on everything that I've seen, I do not believe that Tyrod Taylor gives him the best chance to win.
And by the way, even if he would have gone to Taylor, and listen, I'm keeping it real. I was not really thinking about that in the moment. So it's not like I'm sitting there saying, put in Tyrod Taylor, or just jumping into this Tyrod Taylor-Justin Fields debate. No, it's very clear to anybody who watches football, Tyrod Taylor's five times better than Justin Fields throwing a football. That's not even debatable. But what is debatable is what's ultimately better for the Jets big picture this year. Listen, maybe you split the difference. Maybe you go to Tyrod Taylor. Maybe he steals a dub. And then maybe you go right back to Justin Fields.
Right.
Nobody's sitting here saying play Tyrod Taylor the next 11 games. He's got some decisions, because when you keep running somebody out there that's that bad throwing the ball, you run the risk of losing the locker room. And if you don't have that, that is always going to be step one of culture. Like, before you can get to step two and step three and being good, you got to at least have guys in the locker room who look at the head coach and say, all right, at least this guy's got my back and he's doing what it takes to win. Right now, there's guys on that team that don't really think he's trying to win.
Maybe they could trade for Russell Wilson.
Yeah, Russell.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a... Why not?
I'll trade for Jameis Winston.
Okay.
I don't want any part of Russell Wilson.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know the Browns outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.